Amen. Well, I've enjoyed the special singing, all the singing actually. I've enjoyed it, and it's kind of prepared my heart for what the Lord would have me to preach this morning, and I trust that it would prepare your heart as well. You have your Bible open to Isaiah chapter number 50. The last few Sunday mornings, of course not last Sunday morning, our mission's emphasis, but prior to that we've been talking about the enemy, the devil, and he's very real. He's still active. He's still defeated. I do want to go ahead and go on record and say that. He's still defeated. He hasn't gained any ground on God. Now, he may have in your life and mine, but I just, again, want to remind you that Satan is not the opposite of God. I think some people, you know, they're good, evil, right, wrong, God, Satan. It's not that way. It's creator, created. And we have to understand that. I also want to remind you that not everything that is spiritual is good. We live in a society where the word spiritual all of a sudden has just taken like it's good. You know, it's spiritual. Well, there is spiritual that's not good. There's spiritual darkness. There is powers and principalities. Spiritual wickedness is the way Paul put it. Rulers of this darkness and of this world. And so we've looked at the enemy. We're not through with that. But I wanted to talk with you this morning of something that God's put on my heart. And it's not going to be amen, but I know it's going to help you. And I pray that you would give your undivided attention to God's Word. I want to talk to you about Christians in a dark place. And when I say a dark place, I want you to understand, as you look at the Bible in verse number 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant? So I'm not talking about a dark place of wickedness or a dark place of sin. I'm talking about a dark place, if you'll notice again in the Scripture in verse number 10, where it says, after that, it says, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Now, here is an individual that Isaiah the prophet is saying, who's out there that's doing right? You fear the Lord. You reverence God. You're trying to keep His commandments. You're wanting to do the right thing. You're obeying the voice of God. Of His servants. You hear the Word of God preached, you go out and you want to do it. You read the Word and you want to fulfill it in your life. You want to practice the Word of God in your life, and yet you found yourself in a very dark place. As a matter of fact, he said in verse number 10 there, walketh in darkness and hath no light. You don't understand. What's going on? Why is my health failing me? Why is my loved one in this condition? Why are our finances as they are? Why, when I pray, does heaven seem to be brass? Why is my child that I brought up in church and I've done everything that I knew to do, humanly speaking, I tried to bring them up in the ways of God, and they're out of the world and they're living in rebellion. God, why are these things happening to me? Why am I in this dark place? So I want to make it very clear, that's who the prophet is speaking to. He is not speaking to people who hear the Word and say, you know what, I don't care what God said, I'm going to do this. It doesn't matter what the preacher said. Yeah, that's his opinion. I'm just going to go do what I want to do. You know, that's not who the prophet's speaking to. And so there's just times in our lives that God says the darkness is going to do you better than the light. The adversity is going to grow you and mature you more than the prosperity. There's just some paths along God's journey in your life that He wants you to pass through some dark places so that it could make you a better person and certainly a better Christian. So I want to talk to maybe somebody that's here today. And I just believe there'll be more than one. And I know that there'd be some listening today Don't know where, don't know who. Have nobody in mind other than I want to be a help and a blessing to a person that's in perplexity, that's confused, that thought, you know, I thought if I did right, I thought if I honored God, I thought if I feared the Lord and obeyed the voice of His servant, I thought if I did what God said to do, that everything was going to just work out and my life would be, well, different than what I'm going through right now. And I don't know what you're going through right now. Now, some of you think that you know what other people's going through, but I want to be really careful to remind each one of us, we do not know what other people are going through. You might think you do. I may think that I know, but really, we do not know what's going on in the lives of others. And I think we can really get in trouble. And I, as a pastor, you, as Christians, if we're not careful, we can get in trouble thinking because we know a little bit of a situation that we know the whole situation, and a little bit really doesn't define all that's going on. So I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help to you in God's Word today. You say, well, I'm not there. I'm having the time of my life, preacher. I'm enjoying life, and God is good. Life is good. Amen. I'm just doing great. Well, that's good. I'm walking in the light as He is in the light. I see, I know, I understand. I can clearly see what God is. I see the destination. I see the point in the path that God has taken me that He wants me to be. I see all this. Well, that's great. Thank God for that. But you know, that doesn't mean that the sun will always shine on your path now. I want you to understand that God uses dark places in our lives. And I'll get to that in just a minute. So do we understand who's being addressed here? I don't want anyone leaving here saying, well, you know, I'm rebellious against God and I'm backslid. I don't care what God says. I'm going to live my life my way. And I'm in this dark place because God has chosen to grow me and make me a better person. No, you're in that dark place because of your sin and your rebellion, and God's going to chasten you. And I don't mean that to be mean now. See, God still loves you, because whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. So I don't mean that God doesn't love you any less than He loves those who fear the Lord and obey the voice of His servants, you see. But this is the group that the prophet is addressing, and this is the group that I want to address this morning. So I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. God really laid this message on my heart heavy. So let's look at just some truths that I pray would be a help to you. Number one, as we look at this, I see some things that are undeniable. And the first is this: it's possible. Whether you're in it or not, whether you're in this place or not, it is possible for believers to get in this place. When you study the context in which it's written, I know it's Israel, I understand where we are here, but I don't think I'm doing any harm whatsoever to the Scripture to say, as God's people, and I can find this in the New Testament, and I'm going to share some things with you in just a moment. Here's a question: who is among you, verse number 10, that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Have you found yourself in a dark place? Have you found yourself in a place to where you don't understand what God is doing in your life? That would not be unusual. Let me give you just a few biblical examples, and these are just a few. I think of Job. Now, Job was a just man. He feared God and eschewed evil. You know the story, and I'm not going to go into the detail. I don't have time. I just want to top some trees here and just give you some things I think would be helpful to help you to understand what God is saying right here. He's practiced it in the life of some of His servants down through the time. There was Job. Far as I can tell, Job was God's man. He was a perfect. He was mature. He was complete, the Bible says. And that's what the word perfect means in that context. And he was going along. He was doing right. And we all know the story of Job. All right? We know how that the cruel messenger came and, oh my, how Job's life was turned upside down in just a moment of time. He lost everything. He lost everything. And so you read through the book of Job. And as a matter of fact, go back to the book of Job just for a moment. You just turn back toward the front of the Bible, just a few books, and you'll get into Job chapter 19. And I want to show you what Job said that let me know Job was in this place that the prophet Isaiah spoke of. He was there. Job 19, we know how the dialogue between Job and his friends, and Job's trying to tell them, listen, guys, I haven't done what you're accusing me of. I've tried to live for God. I've tried to do what's right. I've tried to rear my children. I've tried to honor God with the substance of the first fruit of my increase. I've just tried to do what's right, and yet this happened. Now, we know why it happened. Okay, God tells us behind the scenes some. Job didn't know that. And so here's Job, and this is his statement. Look in chapter 19 of Job. Let's begin our reading in verse number 6. Job 19, verse number 6. Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. Now watch this. And he hath set darkness in my paths. God did that now. Okay, God did that. So you mean God set darkness in the path of his servant? That's what he said. Isaiah said that it can happen. There's been more than one saint, even in modern time, that has written in their biography how that God placed them in a dark place in their life to bring them to a place of maturity and understanding and closeness to what God had for their life. So if you're there, it doesn't mean that God is chastening you. It means that God is growing you. It doesn't mean that God has given up on you. It means that God is teaching you to trust him. He's teaching me to trust him when there is no light, when I have nothing to go by but the voice of God. Follow the voice of God. Follow the voice of God. When God says, turn, turn. When God says, hear, hear. When God says, now, now. See, when God said it. And God wants us to learn to trust him that way. And in the darkness, well, it's not unusual for there to be darkness in the life of a believer. There's Job. I'm not going to ask, but if you want to, you can turn to the book of Habakkuk. That is a prophet also in the Old Testament. If you want to turn there, you can. If not, I just want to read you something that Habakkuk said, okay? Habakkuk, we've studied through the whole book of Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk was the same way. He didn't understand why God was doing what he was doing and why he was going through what he was going through. In Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk said this in verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. God, I don't understand. God, I've prayed and I've prayed and I've asked and I've asked. I'm getting no answers, and I don't understand why the things that are happening are happening. He said in verse number 3, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. God, I don't understand. Why am I in this place in my life? As we go back to Isaiah chapter number 50, I'll call your attention to a couple of New Testament situations where there were men of God, good men. I think of the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. What a man of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, he said, none greater, there's none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. Okay? What a man. What a man. He was a man that stood. And though, listen, I heard one man say, though he ate honey, he didn't preach it. Amen. He didn't preach honey. He preached it, listen, he preached it gun barrel straight. John the Baptist was a preacher of righteousness. John the Baptist knew that God had a purpose for his life. And he stood one day by the River Jordan and he looked up and he saw Jesus coming and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See, there was a day when John was very clear of his mission. He was very clear on who Jesus was and what Jesus came to do. Jesus went to John and he said, I want you to baptize me. And you know John's response, he said, oh my, he said, I need you to baptize me. And nonetheless, John baptized Jesus. And when he did, listen now, when he did, the heavens opened. And the Spirit of God, like a dove, descended upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven, God the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son. Amen. In whom I'm well pleased." John saw this. And yet there was a day when John took a stand against Herod's situation of adultery and Herod's situation of debauchery. And he stood and he proclaimed it. And he said, "It's unlawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." And he was thrown in prison. John was in a dark place. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2 and 3, he called his disciples and he said, "I want you to come." He said, "I want you to go find Jesus. And I want you to ask him something." Now here's a man, listen to me. Here's a man who saw and experienced all that I just said and then some. And he said, "I want you to ask him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" He was uncertain of himself. Here was a man who loved the outdoors and who loved being out in the wilderness, who loved to be out and kind of a free spirit, and yet he was confined to a dark dungeon, a dark prison, and depression and discouragement and darkness had so set in on him that he began to doubt the very things that made up the core of his belief system. And he said, "I want you to go ask Jesus, is he the Messiah, the Christ? I'm unsure anymore." See, he was in a dark place. You say, "Preacher, sometimes I doubt." Well, I'd say you're in pretty good company. I'm not saying it's a good thing to doubt. I'm just saying that if you do, you won't be the first. "Preacher, sometimes I don't know some things. Sometimes I don't have the answer. Sometimes I don't know what to do. Sometimes I don't know which way to turn." Well, you know, I think we all are that way. We may not want to talk about it publicly. We may not want to make much of it. But if we'd just be transparent and open, none of us have all the answers. All of us get in a place of indecisiveness and don't know what to do, what God is doing, and we talk to God and it seems like God is not listening. So it's not unusual. I want to close this one little section here, this point, on saying that even the Apostle Paul, what a great theologian, what a wonderful apostle, probably the finest missionary, humanly speaking, that ever walk the face of the earth. And we heard this past Sunday night when the missionary opened up the Word of God and he began to read from the words of the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, and he said, "I am," listen to this word now, "perplexed." We don't use that word a whole lot. It just means, I don't understand. I have no idea. I can't fit the pieces together here. I'm perplexed. You ever been in that state? I don't know what God's doing here. I don't know. I can't see the next step. I can't see where this is headed. As you look at Isaiah again, Isaiah said, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of the servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" Sometimes that's the way life can become. You say, even for a Christian preacher? Absolutely. Absolutely. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that's in that place. I've got some good news for you. And if you'll just stay tuned, I'm going to share it with you. So it's not unusual. We see it where there was Job, and there's just many more, okay? There was Job, and there was Habakkuk, there was John, there was Paul. We could go on and on. But then, not only is it not unusual, I want to tell you it's not unfruitful. And I want you to listen very carefully. Say, "I don't like being in the darkness. I don't like being in the darkness, preacher." Well, I don't think any of us do. I don't. But I read a quote by a man this past week that really stuck with me. The fruit of the Spirit can ripen in the dark places. See, God can mature us and grow us in those hard places, in those dark places. God can, as we're being tested, we learn what it is to trust the Lord and to lean on Him and to depend on Him. If we're not careful, and when I say we, I'm talking about us independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, sin-hating, Christ-honoring, and you can go on and on and on, Baptist. And I'm not making light of that. I am one of you. But if we're not careful, we get to the place where we say, "I've got this thing. Know how to dress, know what to do, know where to go, know how to do this, know what to do here, and we'll get to going to where we just kind of think we have this thing on autopilot and we don't need God. Who needs God? I've got this thing down. I've been doing it for 40 years now. Listen, if God allows me to live to October, I would be saved 41 years. It's a long time to be a Christian. There's folks in here been saved longer than that. And if you're not careful, you think, I have all the answers. Man of God will stand up to preach and say, I've already heard a message like that. Right? Turn to Psalm 23. Click. Know all about Psalm 23. You sure? Don't think you do. I think you might think you do. Right? Come on. Man, my text today is going to be John 3:16. Oh, I know all about John 3:16. Are you sure? Because in that verse it says, should not perish. Should not perish. There's people perishing. Are you trying to keep them from perishing? Are you going after sinners? Are you sure you know all about John 3:16? But yet we'll get that false security. And God will allow us to pass through some times to try our faith, try our resolve, see who or what we're trusting in. And so it's not unfruitful. It's not unusual, but it's not unfruitful. What do you mean, preacher? Hold your Bible here. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Your pastor is fascinated with stars, and I'm not talking about Hollywood. Don't have much fascination. There's very little there that even gets my attention. I am fascinated with God's handiwork. When I look at the heavens that declare the glory of God, it humbles me. I get to thinking about God did this, my God, and He has chosen me. He has accepted me into His family. What a wonderful God we have. What a powerful God we have. The Bible is talking about God creating, and you get into verse 16, and it's talking about the greater light to rule the day in the latter part of verse 16, and the lesser light to rule the world. Now watch this. He made the stars also. That is just fascinating to me. I mean, you know, you go outside and you look up and you see these big balls of fire. I mean, a myriad, hundreds upon hundreds of millions. And the Bible took five words. He made these stars also. I mean, you know, what a God. Say, why'd you even bring that up, preacher? Because I want to teach a great lesson here. I love the stars. Some of my greatest prayer times have been when I've walked out at night and I just look up into the heavens and I see all that God has done. I try to find the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper. I try to just take a look, and sometimes it just looks like that there's a canvas, doesn't it, over the heavens, and somebody's just took a, and this is old country boy, you know, just took an old sawed-off shotgun, and you know, and the light's just coming through that buckshot, you know, it's just coming through. It just looks wonderful. And I just say, my God, I am so thankful that I know you. I'm so thankful that I belong to you. But you know, the stars can't be seen during the day. One of the things that I enjoy the greatest, I have to wait until the night to see it. There's a great lesson here. So I can see the stars at day. Well, you have a special kind of eyesight. Amen. Or telescope one. Do you know there's studies that say that after you've been in darkness for a while and you come back out to the light, it'll take your eyes a little while to refocus, but once they do, they actually are keener. Search it. What are you saying? I'm saying that God didn't put you in that place of darkness now so that you wouldn't learn something. God wants to teach me something. God wants to teach you something. God wants me to see something that He has for me. And then oftentimes it's a powerful work. It's something that God wants me to hone in on, to teach me to walk by faith, to teach me to lean on Him, to teach me to trust Him in the darkness. And so the darkness is not unusual, it's not unfruitful, but thank God it's not unending. I'm glad it's just for a season. Though I love the stars and I love to see the things in the dark, I'm glad when the daylight comes. Aren't you? The sun is coming up in the morning. Though we weep for a night, thank God joy cometh in the morning. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. So if you're here today and you're going through a dark place in your life, say, I'm trying to do what's right, preacher. I'm not perfect now. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm trying to do what's right. I want to serve God with my life. I want to keep His commandments. I want to bring God honor and glory. And yet there's just some things going on in my life I don't understand. I can't piece things together. I'm just troubled by it. What can I do? Well, the Bible's going to tell us. Look at the next phrase here in verse number 10. He said in verse number 10, as we go back to Isaiah chapter number 50, he said this. He said, "Who is there among you which feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" He said, "Is that you?" He said, "Because if it is, here's some things you need to do. Write them down now. There's three things. Preacher, what am I going to do when I don't understand, when my world is turned upside down and I've done what's right? Again, I'm not perfect, but I've done what's right. I've tried to honor God with my life. I believe His word. I read my Bible. I attend church. I try to win souls. I want to do what's right. I want to be a practicing Christian, right? And yet, I don't know. There's just some things out of sort. I don't understand. I'm perplexed." He said, "Here's what you do. Number one, let him trust in the name of the Lord." Amen? Do you fear the Lord? Are you obeying the voice of His servant? Are you trying to do what's right, and yet you find yourself in a dark place and there's no light and you're wondering, why me, or why is this happening? Right? He said, "Well, here's the first thing you need to do. You need to trust in the name of the Lord." Because I'm going to tell you what a lot of Christians do, and I've been guilty of it myself. I start going to people and trying to find out what's going on. "Hey, can you tell me what's going on? Let me tell you what I'm going through, and you tell me what's going on." That's not a good idea. "I'm going through this." See, we want to know why. Tell me why. I can't tell you why. Listen, there's more times than not that I can't tell you why. As a matter of fact, no man will be able to tell you why. And many times, God won't tell you why. As far as I can tell, God never told Job why. Never. You don't even need to know why. I don't even know if God told us why we would understand it. Hold your place here and turn over just a couple of chapters, chapter 55. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Look in verse number 8. You say, "Well, preacher, if I just knew why I was going through this, it would change everything." I doubt it. I doubt it. And here's why. Chapter 55, Isaiah, verse number 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, God, you're not on the same plane with God. God could tell you and you still wouldn't understand. You know, so instead of us asking, as we go back to Isaiah 50, instead of us asking why, how do I go through this? God, how do I go through this and come out on the backside a better Christian, a better purpose, a better person with purpose in my life? God, how? Number one, trust in the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, we're living in a day when Christians really do not get that song. God means that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. Boy, as you get down into verse number 11, he said, "Don't you do what you want to do. If you do what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do, you will not learn in this darkness. You will grapple and grapple around in darkness and try to find your..." You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. My, how I've tried on my own from time to time. How about you? We get in a place and we just want out so bad, we just are willing to try anything just about to get out. And so here's number one. He said, trust in the name of the Lord. Look to the Lord. Don't try to get explanations. Just claim His promises, right? Claim His promises. Don't try to get explanations. Trust in the Lord. Say, well, preacher, how do you do that? Well, look at verse number 10. Fear the Lord and obey Him. If you're fearing and obeying Him, you're trusting Him. Amen. That's what trusting the Lord is. You're fearing, you're reverencing, and you're obeying. You're doing what He says. That's trusting Him. Right? Cross the road. Well, there's a lot of traffic. Cross it. You'll be all right. You obey that? You're trusting My word. You do what God says do, you're trusting His word. If you do not do what God says do, you can say you trust Him all day long, but that doesn't mean you're trusting Him. You're not trusting Him. See, you can't trust and disobey. It's trust and obey. Right? So He says, now listen carefully here now. When you get in this place, don't quit reading your Bible. The Bible has commanded us to read the Word, study the Word, meditate upon the Word, memorize the Word. The first thing that many people do when they get in darkness, when they don't see their way through, is they say, you know what? The Bible's a goner. I'm quitting praying. I'm quitting tithing. I'm quitting witnessing. I'm quitting attending church. I give up on God. And one day, when all of this comes back together, then I think I'll start again. You're messing up. You're messing up. The Bible nowhere teaches that. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that we're to trust God in the storm, through the storm, and He'll get us on the backside of the storm. So He says, when you get in this place now, look what He said. Who is there among you? He said, I want to speak to that person that's fearing God and obeying His voice, that you're in dark place, there is no light. He said, I want to speak to you and I want to tell you to do something. What's the first thing He said to do? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. You stay with God now. You stay with the Lord. See, it's many times when people get in this place right here, they quit. I have been pastoring this past March. I made 35 years that I've been pastoring. I have seen many people quit on God in this place right here. Could have been their health, could have been their marriage, could have been their family, could have been their child, could have been their children, could have been a job situation, could have been a church situation, could have been a pastor who was mean or done something that hurt them, and it was in a dark place, a dark place. They were perplexed. They didn't understand, and they said, you know what? I quit. He said, listen, if you want to do right, you want to serve God, and you really want to make it through that dark place where there is no light, where you don't understand, he said, you need to, number one, trust in the name of the Lord. Don't trust the preacher now. That's not what he said. Amen. Don't trust your friends. So, well, I have some good friends. Thank God for that. Thank God for good friends. But that's not what the Bible says. Is that right, brethren? Don't trust your health. Don't trust your riches. Don't trust your things. Trust the Lord. You say, well, I have this and I have that and I have this and that'll get me through it. Oh, no, no, no. That's not what it says. The Bible's always right. He said, trust in the name of the Lord. Then number two, look what he said the latter part of verse number 10. This is very interesting. He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Look at this wording here. And stay upon his God. What an interesting word. I challenge you to go home and look it up. It's from the same word that we get our word staff. Psalm 23, thy rod and thy stay, thy staff. Same word. They comfort me. So he said, number one, you know what you do with a staff? Well, it's used for several reasons, several purposes, but one of the purposes is to lean on, right? To lean on the staff. And so he's saying this. He said, not only look to the Lord, but lean on the Lord. You lean on Him. You stay on your God. Don't veer from Him. Don't turn from Him. So many times, So many times when we go through dark places in our lives, we turn from God. That's the times that we need to turn to Him. Why? He's the light. He's the light. I want to share something with you that is a song that I heard many years ago. I haven't heard it sang in years. The name of the song, as I recall, is God Hath Not Promised. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our life through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for each trial, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. Brethren, God will lead us through these times if we will allow Him to. Another songwriter put it this way: standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Going through a hard time, don't understand why, don't have any answers, I doubt I'm going to be able to help you as far as answers. Tell me why, preacher. Don't know that that would help you even if I knew why. But it's not why, it's how. How do I come through this? Number one, trust or look to the Lord. Number two, lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. That's what he said here. He said, and stay upon his God. Lean on the Lord. All right? You know, last of all, verse number 11, this is where I found myself before. See if you found yourself here. So where we'll close, all right? So he said in verse number 11, behold all ye that kindle a fire. In other words, I'm going to make my own fire. I'm going to make my own light, right? Don't have any light. I'm in darkness. I'm going to generate some light. That's just like man. Just like man, you know? I'm going to do what it takes to get some light. And so I'm going to involve my own ingenuity and the work of the flesh, going to make me a fire. Notice what he says. He says, behold, all you that kindle the fire. Behold, hearken, listen up now. Hey, don't make this mistake. Don't make this mistake. All you that kindle the fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. Those of you that do that, that say, well, I don't have any light. Going to make some light, going to generate some light, and I'm going to walk in that light, the light that I make, the light that I make, my way out, right? I'm going to reason. I'm going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to reason in my mind how to get out of this place that God has put me in and not wait on God to see me through this and teach me the lesson. I'm going to get out of this. Well, I can't tell you the times that we mess up when we do that. It's not good. It's not good. He said, this shall ye have of mine hand. You will lie down in sorrow. It's not going to end well for you. It's not. So what do you mean, preacher? Oh, I don't know. So God tells Abram, I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to give you a son of promise. Hey, that sounds great, right? Hey, man, God gave me a promise. But then Abraham went through this dry spell, this dark place, and then Abraham lit his own fire, right? Of course, he had Sarah to help him. And so Sarah comes in and says, hey, I got an idea. Man, things are not going the way that God said they would. Why don't we help God out? We got this handmaid here we picked up in Egypt, Hagar. And so we'll just make our own fire. We'll make our own light. We'll get our own son. That didn't turn out too well. Matter of fact, we're still suffering. Our world is still suffering from that man-made fire. We could go on and on through the scripture where God put a man in a position and said, now you wait right here and you trust me. You trust me. You lean on me. You wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. And God will bring you through it. And we say, well, no, wait a minute, God. I'm getting, I,
got to light my own fire. I got to go. I just got to move. I got to be doing something. Hey, sometimes it's good to do nothing. But wait. You wait till you get further instructions. Right? Don't just do what, you know, well, I just got to do something. I just can't stand here. I can't sit here and wait. I got to go. I got to do something. We make our own fire, and before too long, we're burnt by it. And many people get hurt in the process. So be careful about making your own fire. Wait on the Lord. If you're where you are, I want to encourage you, number one, trust Him. All right, trust Him. Stay on Him. But don't light your own fire. Don't do that. You wait on the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. Now, preacher, I'm not going through a hard time. Well, you're in a different place. And we're none of us are in the same place. None of us. But just because you're not in a dark place doesn't mean that you couldn't be. Maybe before this day is through. Doesn't take but one phone call. Doesn't take but one visit. Doesn't take but one incident. And things can turn on a dime. Listen to me. I don't know what God has in store for your life. Listen, when I can see way down the road, I don't really need to exercise as much faith as when I can't see in front of me. See, when God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees, He didn't say, listen, I'm going to show you each step of the way. He said, you just start walking, I'll show you the way. Amen. That's why He's the Father of the faithful. God's not always going to show us and light every path and show us everything He has in store. Why? Because God wants us to trust Him. And God wants us to lean on Him. And God doesn't want us making our own way. If there's one thing that I know that this book right here, the Bible, teaches, that is that we're to trust God and not lean on our understanding. Our reasoning doesn't line up with God's Word. As we bow our heads together,